First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday.
Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I play better when you hit me, 52. I like it. I'm kind of messed up.
Well, yeah, he is kind of messed up. Anyone want to take a guess on who said that? Anyone? Anyone? Joe? Sean?
Ramon Foster.
No, it wasn't Ramon Foster, the guy who heard Azeez Al-Shaair's appeal of his 3-game suspension. Sean?
John Runyon?
It wasn't John Runyon.
Good guess.
Sent out a letter that had a bit of a character assassination in it on Azeez Al-Shaair. No, ladies and gentlemen, that was Trevor Lawrence on NFL Films back in 2022.
So he likes to get hit. So what's the problem? What's the issue?
Azeez Al-Shaair gave him what he wanted.
Yes. You reap what you sow. Like, he likes to get hit.
Some people are into pain. You know?
Yeah, it's not for me, but like, there's people like that.
Right.
Know?
Some people really like that.
Yeah.
It arouses them. Now, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is aroused by getting hit.
He sounded pretty excited, Paul.
But he's pretty messed up because he likes getting hit. And Azeez Al-Shaair is still going to be suspended for 3 games, arguably the 3 most important games of the year for the Houston Texans. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Azeez Al-Shaair 97.5 and 92.5. We have rebranded the station. This is all we talk about now. This is all we talk about. It is the Azeez Al-Shaair radio station of the market, in a market that is talking a lot about Azeez Al-Shaair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense.
I don't think we could get enough Azeez Al-Shaair talk, to be perfectly honest. So let's take you through what happened yesterday from Azeez Al-Shaair after his 3-game suspension was upheld. Azeez took to Instagram. He posted a couple of pictures on Instagram with some music in the background. Guys, does the music selection of TV Off by Kendrick Lamar featuring Ol' Lefty Gunplay, does that mean anything? Is that a subliminal message like Deshaun Watson?
It probably is. Not familiar with how it would be, though.
Okay. Anyway, that music's in the background of this post. Maybe I'll read some lyrics in a moment so we can try to figure out what's up. There's a picture of him coming out of the tunnel. There's a picture of him wearing his Free Palestine cleats. There's a picture of him, just kidding, a picture of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in Joker 1 and Joker 2. And then a caption that reads, "There is a beauty in being rejected, misunderstood, unseen, and unprotected by people. It teaches you to rely on Allah for everything." Azeez Al-Shaair posted all 4 of these pictures with the caption, "If you want me to be your villain, I'll be your villain. Middle finger emoji. See you soon."
I'll be honest, I laughed the first time I saw it. And I was like, probably not the best move. Not that it really matters, honestly. Like, his suspension's not going to get reversed again. They're not going to add games to it. So, probably not, you know, for what people think of you. But he clearly doesn't care.
He doesn't.
He's going to be like the Joker when he kills the guy at the end of the first movie.
It's a great question. I don't understand posting the Joker at all. Because
TV Off. That's what they turned the television off after he shot the guy.
Oh, okay. I guess because, again, he posted the lyrics to a song. And, yes, on Azeez Al-Shaair 97.5 and 92.5, guess what? we're going to investigate these lyrics by old Kendrick Lamar. Maybe this is what Aziz Alshayer is talking about here. I'll make them fellas mad. Yeah, somebody got to do it. I'll take the G pass. Bleep. Watch a fella do it. Huh, we survived outside. All from the music. Fella, what? He didn't say fella.
He doesn't say fella?
Kendrick Lamar doesn't say fella. He says another word, but I can't say that.
Gotcha. You say fella. I think that's a
I'll
good
make them crackers mad. Yeah, somebody got to do it. It's the Alpha and Omega. B-word, welcome home. This is not a song, this a revelation. How to get a cracker gone. Can I say that?
Yeah, you are one.
I'm just trying to be cool.
You are one, so I think you're
allowed to say. Hey, I have never been a saltine and or cracked a whip in my life, okay? But there you go, guys. That's the latest on Aziz Alshayer. It seems a lot of his teammates support him. Eric Armstead, who is a defensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but also played with him in San Francisco, liked this post that he made, as did many other Texans current and Texans of old. Kareem Jackson commented, F him.
Probably not the person you want on your side in this situation, but yeah.
Well, I mean, Kareem Jackson is the person I would point to and say, hey, this guy got fined 4 times at the beginning of 2023. You gave him a 4-game suspension. He appealed it. And he got a 2-game suspension. Mm-hmm. Only to literally a game after coming back from that 2-game suspension, get suspended 4 more games for a penalty for a play that was not penalized and he was not ejected for.
And I think that goes back to the Nick Caserio comments. Like when we talk about consistency, the Kareem Jackson last season is the perfect example. We don't have to use John Runyon as an example or Ramon Foster, who has his own issues. Apparently I saw that floating around online, some dirty plays that he's had.
Like no, it's hilarious.
Kareem Jackson is the one that, like, you look at last season, you say, okay, he went fine, 4 game, dropped to 2, then 4 game suspension. That would have been the logical procession for all of this with Aziz. I do believe he's been fined at least once this year. I think he was fined for the punching of Roshon Johnson in the Bears game, but I think that's it. At least for like an unsportsmanlike play or anything in this game. He hasn't really got any penalties this year either. So it never made sense to me. I thought they were going to drop for the 2 games. I was surprised.
It was never going to happen. They were never going to do it. The NFL is stubborn. And since popular opinion said that he needed to be suspended, they stuck with popular opinion. They've done this before multiple times. I will point to the Tom Brady 4-game suspension as prime example of, they did not even have conclusive evidence that he deflated these footballs. It was more probable than not. And after the appeal was successful at first, it was unsuccessful a year plus later, entirely because the NFL was jealous of the Patriots. That's what it was. It was that. And, you know, Jeff Luhnow knows how to baseball. Why? Because people were mad at the Astros and didn't want the Astros to have Jeff Luhnow anymore. Like, sometimes these things happen, even if you couldn't really 100% link Jeff Luhnow to all of the things that happened with the Astros. This is why I'm constantly in a bleep the bosses, bleep the man kind of state as a sports fan, even if Aziz Alshayer, what he did was the definition of unnecessary roughness. And,
yeah.
And we're getting all sorts of fun reaction to this. I saw Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk writing, because Aziz Alshayer posted his frustration on Instagram, quote, it seems pretty obvious that his apology 2 days ago was not sincere, to Trevor Lawrence, which of course he had posted to Twitter/X.
Yeah, I mean, when you do post that, you say, I'm going to be the villain. Like, people are going to interpret that as your apology being, you know, not as severe or not as sincere. I think DJ Bieniemy, when he was on with us on Tuesday, made a great point. The Texans should have let him verbally apologize. We've talked about this before. The Twitter, Instagram, social media apology, it doesn't hit the same. It just doesn't have the same feeling because you don't even know they wrote it. His agent could have written that with a couple little inputs here and there from Aziz. So when someone has to speak to the media, actually, like, that's when an apology feels real. So because they didn't do that, because now he's not allowed to even be talked to by the Houston Texans for the next 4 weeks, which is stupid, we're not going to hear from him until before the Titans game. And his apology does look less sincere. I will say, I don't totally disagree with Mike Florio that when you put out that Instagram post, even though I'm kind of team Aziz here, it does make your apology look a little weaker.
There's a pushback to, I think, the idea that Aziz has had his character assassinated. But John Runyon's letter to Aziz did do that to a degree. And you did have a lot of people coming after him. And I suppose that without any context, Aziz afterwards saying, hey, people are coming after me because they're Islamophobic or racist. Like, we don't see the comments posted there. So a lot of people are going to see that and say, well, F that guy. He just did a cheap shot and now he's acting like he's got it tough. But people did come after him hard. And it's really funny that this specific play is being focused on when this week, and you'll hear the audio later in the show, you've heard, one, that the Bears playing against the Lions, Dan Campbell said, well, I know that Caleb Williams doesn't run quickly out of bounds. He hangs around. Guess what? Dan Campbell told the Lions to light his ass up if he was on the field. No one's talking about that, even though Caleb Williams, by the way, did get lit up on the sideline. I know some people complained about that. It's football. And Tua Tagovailoa said that the Dolphins are 5-7 because he didn't take care of himself. But instead, we're going to focus on this one play because it looked really bad. But while it was bad, I just think so many people lost their minds to a degree that was not merited. And here we are still talking about a 3-game suspension. I think mainly because here, perhaps because we're biased, we're all taken aback by how pissed off everyone is about this play in particular. Because it wasn't a great look, but I've seen worse.
I've seen worse, and I think the Dan Campbell one you brought up, and I know we'll play the audio later, is a great point. A coach is on audio basically telling them to headhunt. I mean, he's saying that because he doesn't run out of bounds. Like, he's totally right and justified in saying that. Like, get out of bounds, kid. But, like, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? This happened last year with, I think it was the Chiefs said they were going to try to hurt Lamar Jackson. Like there's, it's just the outrage from the national media is so selective. And in this moment, they're going, I think, way over the top with how outrage and how the things they're trying to, for how long he should be suspended for, all of it, all of it. It's just, it's over the top and the whole process is stupid. It's all ridiculous. I cannot believe that he's not going to be on the team for the next 3 games. He's been gone for 4 weeks from this organization. And the national reaction is still as hot as it is when the football minds are constantly telling you, relax. Whether it's Rex Ryan or J.J. Watt or all the players on social media. Like, the guys who play the game are telling everyone to relax.
A lot of people. Not necessarily everyone, but you're right.
It's like a majority, right?
I don't know if it's the majority. I truly couldn't tell you, Joe. It might be. Yeah. Honestly, I've seen a lot of people that are adding a little bit of nuance to this. And guess what? Everything's nuanced. Like, this idea that Aziz Alshaair is an a-hole, it is not true. Like, for anyone who speaks on this guy's character, they're going to talk very highly of him. This is an interesting quote that Big Sarge got earlier in the year. This is before the Texans and Colts game. He was talking to Aziz Alshaair, and Anthony Richardson, of course, gets hurt in that first Texans-Colts game last year. And Alshaair played with him, against him, when he was on the Titans last year, before this year. And he talked about a conversation with Big Sarge that he had with Anthony Richardson, a guy who doesn't necessarily protect himself.
Hope for probably his well-being. He ain't trying to run a little, too much, because obviously that's how he got hurt. I was in that game in Tennessee last year, and honestly was talking to him like, hey, bro, you get down.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it ends up happening. This league is physical, man. He's a big, fast, physical player, but at the end of the day, like, as a quarterback, I wouldn't want CJ doing that. So I would, just for the safety of himself. Like, get down and throw the ball.
Sure.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to prepare for it.
He's right. Like, it's an illegal hit, but, like, these quarterbacks, like, they're so protected when they run, and even the defensive players know, get out of bounds, get down faster.
It's a natural thing to take advantage of something when you are given the ability to do it. And I'll point to, from my own personal experience, this is different, but Seattle's laxed policy towards the homeless. Well, you don't punish homeless people who are doing things that a regular member of society is not allowed to do, they're going to push the boundaries more and more. The quarterbacks are going to push the boundaries more and more here. And I'm very intrigued to see if this maybe starts the pendulum going back the other way. Now, it seems like more people in this moment are saying, at least as far as the people that are in our shoes, Joe, are talking about how this is awful for the sport. This is a black eye on the game. And I'm seeing this like weird Babylonian logic. Hammurabi's code. You know what that is? Essentially, yeah, it's an eye for an eye. Okay. So like Trey Wingo's out there saying, well, Aziz Alshaair needs to be out as long as Trevor Lawrence is out. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence got placed on season-ending injured reserve. Is it for his concussion or is it for the shoulder surgery that he was probably going to have to get that now with the Jaguars season lost, he can go get? Very convenient for the Jaguars to do this. It almost gives them a shield from the idea that they are tanking for a draft pick, which is 100% what they're doing. I'm sure that they'll nail this draft pick like all the other first-round draft picks that they've nailed in the past. But it's interesting to see a lot of the pushback is not about how this rule is something we should look at. Because what's happened has happened. Alshaair hit Lawrence. Some people think it's dirty. I'm not going to tell you it's not. I don't think it was, though. I think it was unnecessary roughness. People are still talking about that. I feel like we should be talking about the big picture thing here. And I suppose this sounds a lot like the same people who are saying after a school shooting, we need to talk about gun violence right afterwards or something like that. But no, I feel like this is a problem for the league. And you want to protect your quarterbacks. Well, you have to tell them to protect themselves too. It can't just all be this idea that there's this force field that all these guys have that allows them to do whatever the F they want on the field.
I mean, the responsibility of every action of a player getting hurt or not hurt cannot solely be on the defense. There has to be a balance. And there's a balance with whatever rule changes that they should try to implement this offseason when the rules committee gets together. If they want to look at Aziz's play and say this is going to be, you know, consistency, the standard for if you hit a quarterback sliding, I'm open to that. Like, if they want to say, like, this is the new rule, this is the standard we're going to be put in place, if we determine you slide late, you get a 3-game suspension, I'm fine with that. I also think, because the fight's part of it, that every single time there's a fight, then players should be getting suspended for a game. The Jaguars corner should be suspended for a game for punching a Texans player. That should be happening. It's not, because there's no consistency. The other side, they have to look at the quarterback sliding as well. Like, they have to find the middle ground here to just, whether it's to eliminate this play, to make it more clear what's expected from this play. And some of that goes back to the fake slide stuff, where 15-yard penalty from the spot. If we determine that you did a fake slide or you went to go out of bounds and then came back in, it's a 15-yard penalty on the quarterback. Like, there has to be a middle ground, and everyone just wants to continue just to have outrage and not think of this logically at all. Like they just want to be illogical with the way they view Aziz, the suspension, his now social media posts definitely made it worse. But like, there's a bigger conversation to be had, and maybe it's for the off season. And I'm hoping the NFL actually tries. Maybe.
They probably won't. They should at the very least look at themselves in the mirror and wonder if they can do anything. I'm glad you brought up the Jaguars cornerback, Jerrion Jones, who threw a punch against the Texans. We actually got audio of this, and Sean, so if we have it, we got it. Cool. This is the beginning of Jerrion Jones' press conference with Jaguars media. Listen to the Bobo-ass questions that are asked of this guy who got away with punching someone in a game and not suspended.
Nobody actually got to see the punch. We watched video, we watched replays. Nobody's actually seen a punch thrown. We saw maybe it looked like you pulled the official. Were you in there throwing haymakers?
I was doing a little something in there.
Was it disappointing that you got, of all of that, that you got called out? Like,
Nah, I wouldn't be as naive to say that, you know what I'm saying? I really didn't do nothing. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. It was like, bro, you know, it's kind of, you know, is what it is.
That's what you're supposed to do, right? Quarterback gets hit late like that.
What a bobo.
Yeah, I mean, that's my brother. You know, I kind of regret, one of the biggest things I regret about it is getting ejected, you know, from the game, not, you know, to be there, you know, for my teammates and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as the whole thing went, you know, that's my brother. You know, I do the same thing for all 70 guys or however that make up, you know, Jack's organization. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it's kind of, but nah. You know, so, yeah.
I mean, look, I until the end, I really have no idea what the hell Jerrion Jones was talking about there, but I really want to focus on the reporter here. I want to know who he punched. Everyone's acting as if he punched Azeez Al-Shaair. No, Evan Engram shoved Azeez Al-Shaair. I bet Jerrion Jones, there's a chance he punched someone else.
He had
to. Why else would he get ejected? You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And this Bobo reporter says, like, yeah, like, this doesn't make sense to assault somebody on a football field if your quarterback gets hit hard. This Evan Bobo here. Dude, ask who he punched. I want to know who he punched. Yeah, man, do you feel like you were made an example of? Like, come on, Bobo. Do your job. And then a little bit later, someone asks Jones about D'Amico Ryans and about how the Jaguars overreacted in the statement that he had. Here is more from Jerrion Jones.
D'Amico Ryans, he felt like you guys overreacted. Is that how you think any team would have reacted to their quarterback in a hit like that?
I don't even want to talk about that guy.
D'Amico? You don't want to talk about him? Why? Sir, you did punch someone, and we don't even know that it was Azeez Al-Shaair. Maybe it was, but can you put out a statement too? Can you put out a statement and say, yes, I punched Azeez Al-Shaair? Jaguars fans would love it. Honestly, all NFL media would love it because apparently you're allowed to punch somebody who just makes a bang bang kind of play on a quarterback who's sliding.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're not involved in the play. Like,
yeah,
shouldn't that be an honest suspension?
He wasn't even on the field.
Yeah, he came off the field. We did this in the NBA after the Mouse at the Palace. If you step onto the court, you're suspended. If you're a defensive play, if you're like, he's not even out there. It was an offensive possession. He shouldn't be on the field throwing punches. So he's throwing it on the sidelines.
We truly have no idea who this guy punched.
First of all, I'll be honest with you. Until they said his name on the broadcast, I'd never heard of this guy in my life.
Same. I hadn't heard of him either. And I was like, wait, why did he get ejected? And you go back, you have no idea what happened. There was a huge skirmish that broke out. Did he punch Azeez? I mean, it would have been tough for every single Jaguar to get out of Azeez. I think it stands to reason that he did not punch Azeez. I bet he punched Arando. And again, this is speculation, but what is it, like all 53 players on the Jaguars and then the guys who were on the sidelines who were inactive, are they all lining up in a row like, pow, right in the kisser, pow, right in the kisser, pow, right in the kisser? It's just very physically unlikely that of all of those guys, this guy was able to get in there and get a shot in. Now, he's a corner. He's probably a little quicker than most.
I mean, you know what? He punched, I found it. He punched Boyd. Who's Boyd?
He punched Chris Boyd?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Boyd's the corner. So we did punch a random person.
Yeah.
Longhorn legend Chris Boyd.
I'm assuming that's, yeah. Because like you see, he comes in, he throws a punch, hits someone in the back of the helmet. Boyd turns around. Oh, no, it was Kurt Heinisch. He punched Kurt Heinisch.
He punched Kurt Heinisch.
Big Heine.
That's a white guy.
Because he just turns around and his all this mask stuff that he puts on his face for the game is just drooling. He's so confused what happens.
Surprised Jacksonville's racist police didn't arrest him on the spot.
My gosh.
By the way, I don't know if all Jacksonville's police is racist. I'm just saying, like, hey, listen, like, I suppose this is progress that he's not getting ejected for punching, you know, just assaulting someone,
he
right?
He assaulted the wrong player.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I didn't know it was Heinisch of all people. Kurt Heinisch could not look less like Azeez Al-Shaair. Now, I don't see color, but, like, we're talking about a guy wearing number zero.
Oh, he's fat shaming over here.
And the guy, No, I mean, I'm guessing Kurt Heinisch has got 80 pounds on his knees.
At least.
He punched Kurt Heinisch?
Yeah.
290, listed at 295. Like
a moron.
It looks like he just kind of comes in, just like throws a punch. And I swear, it looks like it's fine. I love it. Looks like it hits Heinisch.
Is it just a punch, like, just
he just, like, threw it.
Throwing a punch, not really. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right, I'm going to have to look at this myself.
Zapruder filmed this thing.
Because I watched it, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be looking for here. There's too much going on.
Yeah, it is just, like, a massive, like, humanity. Like,
he punched Kurt Heinisch, and we were like, yeah, sometimes you just got to punch someone, huh? Like, these media people, my God, Jacksonville, clean it up. Small market.
Smallish market. Small market.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, RJ, yeah, come back here.
Yeah.
They don't deserve RJ. RJ, big market radio producer. Anyway, it is Gallant and George. He's Joe. We got Sean behind the glass. And we just found out that the Jaguars corner who punched Arando literally assaulted Kurt Heinisch, who had nothing to do with what Azeez Al-Shaair did out there.
Arrest
outrageous.
That man.
Outrageous. That is assault.
With a deadly weapon. Yeah.
At some point today, we're going to talk about the most tired Houston Texans topics, because I know for a lot of people, you're worn out by this. I'll be honest, I am too.
Yeah,
It's been a fun 4 days for the bye week, but I do want to turn the page.
Maybe today's the last day.
Today's the last day, I agree.
Unless Azeez goes to social media again.
Even then, not leading the show. It's 12:45.
Only breaking news here: Aziz Alshayer has punched his computer after watching the Twitch of this show. Just kidding. Up next, did a key Houston Astro hint at Alex Bregman leaving? We continue our countdown. We're not the nice amount of days anymore. Damn it, that was yesterday. We are getting closer and closer, though, to the start of Astros spring training. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Sharing some truths in the commercial break. Did get a text. I'm tired of getting this text. I'm tired of a lot of things. Like, I'm tired of a lot of people online. It's like, whoa, I just discovered that Disneyland has an LA in it and Disney World has an ORL in it. Shut up! Shut up! It doesn't matter. No one cares. Disney World's better than Disneyland. Both are two corporations that are just greedy, shameless whores that are stealing money from you at this amusement park that is designed to distract you from the realities of the terrible world that we live in. By the way, this view does not reflect the views of all ESPN.
I will say
97.5 and 92.5, which is why we have rebranded to Aziz Alshayer 97.5 and 92.5.
I didn't know that. I also don't care.
That's what's annoying me. Whoa, I didn't know. I don't care. I don't care. Shut up. I also am tired of this. If that was CJ Stroud laid out of the field, would you say this? Feel the same way? Yes. Yes. If you've listened long enough, I believe you shouldn't be allowed to run out of bounds. I believe you shouldn't be allowed to slide. I believe you shouldn't be able to give up on a play. Sorry.
CJ Stroud, there's a reason why he also doesn't really slide like that. He dives most of the time.
He does so dive forward, actually.
Not really worried about it, to
right.
be honest with you.
And look, he's been hit a couple of times, and I've seen him after the play get up and look for a flag. Tough bleep. Brother,
I mean, my expectation is that when CJ Stroud is eventually hit like this, the reaction is going to be, why did they all just stand there and watch it happen?
That will be the general reaction.
Why would the Texans need a Jerrion Jones?
Yeah.
To throw a punch
like last year when he got hit hard in the Denver game and they all just stood there and watched as he started a fight. And Laremy Tunsil never came to his defense.
He did stand on business.
They did, and they stood on business too, and they started tweeting at Jeremy because they were upset with him because that's all they could do.
I mean. They got Twitter fingers.
Twitter fingers.
Pew, pew, pew. All right, guys. We're getting closer and closer. We're a very nice amount of days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
So this audio comes courtesy of Brian McTaggart from MLB.com. I don't know where he ran into Joe Espada.
There was a charity
sidewalk.
Drive.
A charity drive, okay.
Josh Hader's doing a toy drive.
That makes sense, okay. I wonder if they served any Haterade there. I was unable to get any
to
at Minute Maid Park. Well, you could do it without alcohol.
Yeah, a non-alcoholic version.
Oh, okay.
A non-alcoholic version is probably pretty
a
good.
A virgin Haterade?
Yeah. Yeah, like a virgin Shirley Temple. Shirley Temples are good. I want a virgin Haterade. Okay. What's wrong with that?
No, that's fine.
Okay. He was asked about the number one thing on every Astros fan's mind. Alex Bregman, his future with the club. He hopes that Bregman returns, but he doesn't have anything else other than that. Here is the manager of your Astros.
There's no secret what he means to this team and his organization. Breggy is a winner. He's a leader. He has all the qualities that you want on that you're looking on a baseball player. This is the part of the business that, you know, I don't have much control over that. Just to show my support and the fact that he knows that. You know, we love him. I love him, and he knows that. But you know, he's got the right to do what he thinks is best for him and his family, and that's also important. But he knows that We support him and we love him here in Houston, and he helps us win some championships and a lot of baseball games. And he also is a guy that has done a lot for this community. That means a lot for, you know, to me and to our organization. So hopefully we could get it done. So we'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Do you think he talks with Bregman? Really talks with Bregman?
I could see there being some text exchange. I feel like if you're the manager, really anyone in the organization, besides like Bregman's like closest friend, you kind of want to get like a little bit of distance, like let them go through the process.
Yeah, it's a tricky place to be.
Yeah.
If you're not in Astros management, I imagine Jose Altuve, and I know Yordan Alvarez is close with Bregman, and some of the other guys in the clubhouse are like probably also feeling the same way. Hey, what do we do here? What do we say? I want my friend to get paid, but I also don't want him to leave.
Yeah, like what does Joe Espada like text him? Like, hey, man, while you're living in Arizona, how's the swing looking?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you're probably checking in after the surgery that he had.
Yeah, I would think that would be a reason to communicate with him.
But I would imagine there's not much communication from Joe Espada to Alex Bregman right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
here is more Joe Espada talking about Alex Bregman. And I got to say, the way that he said this, which he does at the very end, try to pull up from the nosedive, but I felt like he tipped his hand here that he doesn't expect Bregman to return when he was asked about what another team might get in Alex Bregman.
Oh, you're going to get...
People say he's like a coach out there.
No, yeah, you're going to get someone who's got grit and he's tough. He makes everyone around him a much better player. You know, he's a gamer. He's that one guy that comes in every single day and you don't have to worry about him. You know, he plays through pain. You know, Reggie is just a ball player. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to watch him play for many, many years. And he's been great. So we'll see. You know, I don't want this to sound like, you know, I'm never going to see him again. You know, but again, it's a pleasure to, you know, have him around. He's been phenomenal. So hopefully we can get something done.
It does sound like he's never going to see him again, though.
Yeah, it sounds like a goodbye.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Every time I hear any of them talk, it sounds like a goodbye. Even Dana Brown, the audio we played last week for when he did the podcasting with Buster Olney. It's like they keep talking about priorities, but it all sounds like a, oh, shucks, we tried.
Yeah, the only thing we're missing is Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth.
We're playing the hell out of that one.
Yeah,
sure. We might replace
2 to 4 months.
We might replace the trombone with Till See You Again.
Yeah, just a Bregman update.
I mean, someone text Sam and tell her that we need that scene when they split.
Yeah, we need two cars.
We need Altuve and Bregman's heads.
Oh no, I don't even want to think about that.
I think we should probably start working on that.
Yeah, probably.
Although with how free agency goes, he might not sign with another team for another 2 months.
So. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over by next week.
By next week,
by
interesting.
Next week? It's so all
people
over?
Think, people are saying they think Juan Soto's going to sign by the start of the winter meetings, which is, I guess, Monday or Tuesday. So, like, once he's signed, I think we'll start to see the dominoes fall pretty quickly.
Okay.
Because my guess is a lot of teams that are in on Bregman are also in on Soto. Yeah. You're not going to bring in a supposedly $700 million player and then a $250 million player in the same offseason.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with the fact they're both represented by Boris, too. So you're walking into a meeting with the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, whoever, and you're like, you should spend $700 million on Juan Soto. All right, see you after lunch. And then the 1:30 meeting being like, you should spend $200 million on Alex Bregman, too. That seems like Soto probably gets done first and then Bregman.
I am curious as to where Soto ends up. I truly don't know. I know people have been saying, well, the Dodgers. And I wouldn't be shocked by that. But I am curious.
Yeah,
that means they would spend like $2 billion in two offseasons.
Yeah, they don't care. And the deferred payments thing, people should do it. Joe, you saw something written by our friend Chandler Rome. I know a lot of people don't like that. I like Chandler a lot.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say.
He's great.
He's funny. He amuses me. This is what Chandler Rome had to say, and it's concerning you a little bit, Joe.
Yeah, so he put out this article on The Athletic. It's as MLB's winter meetings loom, the Houston Astros are still in search of a direction. Now, I don't care
what
people outside of the organization think or have an idea. Like, you got to play your cards close to the vest, right? But this part, quote, some within the Astros organization have sought clarity from decision makers through the past month and a half.
What?
Most have been unsuccessful, but front offices aren't mandated to keep everyone apprised of their methods. General Manager Dana Brown has maintained the biggest priority is retaining third baseman Alex Bregman. So people within the Astros organization, that could be players, that could be Joe Spada, that could be other people in the management team working alongside Dana Brown, that could be Dana Brown, not knowing how much money he can spend. But we're a handful of days away from the winter meetings, and people don't know what the priority is. And when you start seeing stories about guys like, Jorge Polanco as an outside-the-box option for third base for the Astros, a third of the maybe an eighth of the player that Alex Bregman is.
Sounds like a fake player.
Like, I don't love this. Like, I don't love the idea that, like, people don't know what's going on. Like, tell them not. Now, maybe they're leaks, so maybe this is strategic because they already clearly are talking to Chandler a little bit. So maybe there's a reason why these people don't know things because they're snitches on themselves. But how do people in the organization not know what the plan is?
That's a good point.
Don't love that.
I don't either.
I don't love that.
I did not read the article because I am just, I'll be honest, checked out of baseball right now. And good God, they don't know their direction. They don't know their direction.
Mm-hmm.
The direction is keep that window open. Keep it open. Doesn't matter if it's starting to fall. Get some sealant. Get some duct tape. Keep that effing thing open. Please.
Flex seal. Flex Steel.
Bill Steel.
I've been up late enough at night to see Flex Steel. I think that works.
I mean, look, Dana Brown can say all he wants about their desire to room Alex Bregman. It's still the Jim Crane quote of the window will never close while I'm the owner of this team. That as Alex Bregman signs with the Detroit Tigers, whoever it's going to be, like, it's a spit in the face of your fan base. You can't say those things and then let all these good players just keep walking and walking and walking and then not have solutions.
I think it depends on what the solution is, though. If they do make a move, like if they make like a Nolan Arenado move or something like that, or they make a move at first base where they get a better first baseman instead, I think then we could have that conversation. But like last offseason, it was an up-down year, but they did end up spending for Josh Hader.
Yeah, I personally expect that. If Bregman doesn't sign here, that Bryce Matthews will be your opening day third baseman. That's what they did with Pena.
No Shea Whitcomb?
Definitely not. He's stinky. I just don't expect them. Like, maybe they will spin at first base, but
I just want to see what get the whole picture before we whatever. But having Bregman walk would be a bad sign, I would say.
Yeah.
It'd be a bad thing for the team and a bad sign for their direction, which apparently I have as much insight as some people who work for the team.
Yeah, it's not great.
Not great at all. Oof. Sean Mapes behind the glass. He's Joe to my right. I am Paul Gallant. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are 69 nice days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach, Florida. Up next, big game tonight for the Houston Rockets. Not NBA Cup big, but it is big. And the question is starting to get more difficult to answer. What do you do if you're the Houston Rockets when it comes to getting that guy? Do you need him? We'll discuss. Stay put. Now it is. Now it is, Sean. I was saying some uncouth things in the commercial break.
Good word.
Uncouth.
Every once in a while, I just like saying, Mike's hot. Just after Paul says something, maybe not fireable, but close. Colon to the officeable.
There was a time where, during the commercial breaks, you could hear what we said on the YouTube Twitch. And honestly, it was for the best that we got rid of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can never go back.
We cannot go back.
No, never.
People have gotten way too comfortable.
I got too comfortable then.
Well, yes, that too.
I know when it was just me and Sean, like, I would make Sean uncomfortable because I could tell. Sean, you would, like, you would look away from me because you knew that I was in rage mode because I would just be yelling at the Twitch and just calling them, like, a-holes and stuff. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, hi, guys. How you doing?
I just wanted to make it clear for whoever reviews the video later that I don't condone this.
Yeah, when Ramon Foster hears the suspension appeal,
Sean
clearly did not condone this action.
He was trying to be a peacemaker in this.
I just think it's ridiculous that you have a radio show and you're involved in an appeal and your season's done because you're covering the Titans for a living and you can't talk about it.
Yeah, it's cowardly.
Like, well, no, it's not cowardly. It's just like pick a lane.
Yeah.
This is what bothers me about all these ex-players that like get into media. It's like, say something. Say something. If you say something, you're going to rise to the top really quickly.
It's why the Tom Brady thing was weird because, like,
well, he's God, so
but like,
different.
But when, but like, he's been critical, like, he's had gave opinions on this when they first came out with the rule where it's like, now that he's, you know, 2% owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, he can't talk about officiating. I was like, well, then I don't give a crap what he says. Mm-hmm, yeah. But then thankfully, he also doesn't care either, and no, he's just speaking his mind
because he's God, and
he just does it in a politically correct way.
He is half man, half DT, and this has been our. Every single segment, sponsored discussion of Aziz Alshaier
on
Aziz.
We can just check.
Aziz Alshaier, 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Gallant Says Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify.
Wow, big sponsor.
Yeah, big time spot.
New logos, looks great.
Thank you. The best part is I made a new logo. Now I don't even do the show anymore. See, it's all about that.
That's marketing. It's about marketing 101.
But you don't actually put the work in, okay? Because that's how the real world works. Anyway, speaking of not putting in the work, the Golden State Warriors are resting everybody for tonight's Rockets-Warriors game. It is not an NBA Cup game, which I was very disappointed to find out. The NBA Cup game that these two are playing is next week. It's on Wednesday in they don't play in Oakland anymore, right? They play in San Francisco. So that'll be next week, not this week.
And I think the Cup game is at Toyota Center.
It's here.
Yes. Okay.
But it's a 9 o'clock tip-off?
Oh, okay, because I saw the tip-off, and I was like, wait a second, why is it at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 8:30 on TNT.
Okay,
so
got it.
So the TNT late game.
Okay, so...
It's just so strange. It's been so long since the Rockets have been in the spotlight like that.
I know, right?
A 9 o'clock Wednesday home game for the NBA Cup.
No traffic. No traffic in the Toyota Center. Better be full.
Let's be honest. They're going to arrive in the middle of the second quarter, and that's when we want you to be hooting and hollering. As Larry Bird once told me, you going to scream and cheer, pal? Yes, you better scream and cheer once you get here in the second and third quarter, as long as you get here. I don't mind the late arriving crowd like some do, you know? I get who we are. But right now, you have a reason to go this team.
It's an NBA Cup game, okay?
The cup of life.
Be there. This
is it is unironically the biggest game that the Rockets have played since the bubble.
But tonight's is not a big game.
Yes.
No, as the Warriors and Rockets will tell you, this is not with who's available and who's not is not a big game.
So no Draymond Green, no Steph Curry for the Warriors tonight. And are there Rockets that are unavailable that I'm unaware of?
Oh, Tari Eason is out and
with the concussion that he suffered.
Yes, and Fred VanVleet is questionable with more like soreness.
Where's the suspension for the Kings player that gave Tari Eason a concussion?
I think he did that to Jalen Green, didn't he? There was one play.
Well, the still frame of
Jalen Green getting slapped in the face.
Yes, like
yeah.
Jay Crowder's like fingernails in Jalen Green's eyes.
Jay Crowder, low-key dirty player, but no one talks about that. No one talks about Aziz Alshaier here on Aziz Alshaier 97.5 and 92.5.
But yeah, Tari Eason concussion protocol. So
okay, so no him tonight.
No Eason. Maybe no Fred, no Steph, no Draymond, maybe no Wiggins.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I'll stay up late watching it, but I'll probably watch a terrible Christmas movie. I might watch the new Hallmark Christmas movie, although there is a good actual Thursday night football game today. So, you know what? Never mind. Thursday night football game, bottom TV. Rockets, Warriors, top TV.
What's Packers-Lions?
What's the...
Packers-Lions, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah,
what's the Hallmark that you're thinking of?
There's a new Hallmark movie that came out featuring Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's romance, and guess what? It outdrew every single college football game on Rivalry Weekend except for Texas versus Texas A&M on cable. Go. I'm not kidding. That actually happened. It got 2.8 million viewers. The only thing on cable that had a higher rating number was Texas versus Texas A&M. That is very funny to me. But bringing it back to the Rockets. We're all over the place. The coffee has kicked in, the ADD. Do they need to go and get that guy off to the start that they have? Do they need to go get the finisher? And right now, unlikely. You don't have the leverage that you theoretically could have before the trade deadline a couple of months from now. I'm of the belief that you stand pat here and just try to continue letting whatever this is build.
I definitely think from like a logical standpoint, I don't think it makes sense to make a trade right now because, well, I don't think Jalen Green's going to be on this team when they make this trade. So you can't make a trade right now. Like, I could be wrong, but I still feel like Jalen Green's one of the pieces that gets traded.
When is the question?
Well, he can't be traded for 6 months.
Okay.
From when he signed his contract.
Right, I know that.
So that's going to go past the deadline.
Cool.
So that gets to the offseason. So I think the move happens potentially this offseason. But I do want to see one run with this group. Like we talked about like how far they can go.
I'm curious.
And what if we are low on expectations? What if they do make an incredible run this year with this core group of players?
Things are more open in the NBA than they've been. And we probably have to at least think to ourselves in the Western Conference, because I think the Celtics are a monolith. I don't think anyone's moving the Celtics off this year.
Agreed.
Partly biased, yes, but like they just can shoot more threes than anybody. But in the West, I mean, last year, a team that looked like ass for much of last year, the Mavericks, all of a sudden things start working between Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, and the next thing you know, they're playing in the finals.
Yeah, like the West is not, like you have the Mavs with, you know, those two guys and now Klay Thompson. You know, they've won 5 straight, 9 of their last 10. They're playing good basketball.
Yeah, the Warriors, who, by the way, have lost 5 in a row, they get off to a good start, but I think they're starting to look a little closer to last year's Warriors.
Yeah,
for sure. They're somewhere in between how they started off and last year.
And then you have the Thunder. So you have the Mavs and the Thunder. Those are the two best teams in the West, probably still. With the Rockets not far behind. And like what trade's going to happen this season that's going to change one of these franchises? Like, is Brandon Ingram going to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis like a scary thing?
They might get desperate. The Lakers might force something like that to happen because they're not playing very well right now.
Like, I don't buy into it. Like, does, you know, Zach LaVine next to Ja Morant do something for Memphis? Like,
I don't know. Probably not.
No. Like, the West is not what it was as the Rockets were building into this situation. So they can take advantage.
Yeah, or it's also just a bunch of teams that I would say are about as good as each other. Like, there are a bunch of teams that are going to win 45 to 48 games, but there's no, other than the Thunder when they're at full strength, no, like, serious killer out there that you're, like the Celtics in the East where you're like, oh, in a playoff series, like, you're going to have to get some breaks to beat those guys. Where in the West, it's like, we saw last year, like, the Mavericks just beat the Thunder with pretty good shooting, and that's really all it took.
Does it being this open make you more open to saying screw it, let's roll the dice, let's see what happens, or is it too early?
I don't think this year. I think this year should just be because at this point they're good enough to where like you're not worried about missing the playoffs.
Right.
You're just let this group get the playoff experience and see where it goes, because they're, you know, there's not really, like, the desperation to make a move.
There's no desperation.
Yeah, but we have to wait for someone else to become, like, officially available. And there's guys we all want, but...
But they're saying no. At least they're leaking no. Yeah,
right now.
Anyone who will listen. That, like, yeah, we ain't doing that.
Especially Atari and Amen Thompson. Like, that's the one that keeps coming up. That the Terror Twins are not available.
We're making that a thing, huh?
It really seems like it's sticking to
us. Yes, it's been a thing.
I don't like that it's the Terror Twins.
I kind of like it, actually.
Well, do you support terrorism?
Well, it's not the
terrorist. Only a couple letters away.
It's not the terrorist twins.
Well, it's the terror.
That's Jalen Green and Fridrin.
They're 3 letters away from being the terrorism twins.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm fine with terror twins.
I disavow all terrorism, and terror is something that terrorists do.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's true.
Who came up with this? Who was the first?
I don't know.
Was this a Ryan Hollins venture?
I bet you it's Ackerman.
Craig, we can't have that, okay? It's the United States of America. Toby Keith intensifies. We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. I don't like the Terror Twins.
Well, I think you're going to be the last
one. I don't want to hear about twins and terror in back-to-back words, to be honest.
I'm glad you said it.
Well, yeah. I'm saying why I don't like it. I don't like it. Oh, it's 25 years? We just forget about that?
How would you feel if it was Vanessa who made it? Would you change your
Oh, thoughts? I will text her right now. I'll say, what are you doing? This is a betrayal that only someone from Indiana would make.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, hello, everybody. It's the Galan and George radio program on Aziz Alshayer 97.5 and 92.5. We have rebranded today on YouTube on YouTube at Aziz Alshayer. Try to spell it. Bet you can't. On Twitch. Twitch, same thing. So you want to weigh in on Aziz not being able to overturn a suspension? You can, and we'll get back into it in this hour. But where would you rank C.J. Stroud among quarterbacks in the NFL right now, today, December 5th of 2024? Galan and George, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.